you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, you'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in. Hello, friends. It's Lee Brown here, and welcome back to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. Usually, when we talk about investment strategies in real estate and things like the 1031 exchange, you only hear us go wah, 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 wah. But today we have a story about someone getting blown up behind a pharmacy related to a 1031. You're going to want to be listening to Kay Hightower's story here and the lessons she learned that you can take away from this. So dial in, enjoy this, and we'll see you on the other side. This show is brought to you by an amazing sponsor. And if you'll honor me with just a few seconds, I'd love to share some quick information with you before you hear the rest of the story. Hey, y'all, just going to take a quick break from this conversation to let you know about the sponsor of today's episode. That sponsor is, well, frankly, it's me. It's Lee Brown University. Look, it's no secret that real estate is crazy competitive, getting more so every day. And when the pie doesn't get any bigger, but the people wanting a piece of it do, you've got to figure out a competitive advantage. And that's why I created Lee Brown University. It's everything you need from soup to nuts, cradle to grave, point A to point B, whatever point B is. Each of you has different goals. So maybe you're a new to the career realtor, or you're a super experienced pro who can't figure out that next level. There's something in my course that's going to help you break through. It's designed for you before I even met you. So enroll in Lee Brown University today. You go to www.leebrownu.com and I'll see you there. Now back to this amazing content. Hello, Kay.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I hope you are.
I am doing great. I do need to let you know I have a neurological condition that causes spasms in my vocal cords.
Lucky you.
So, there you go.
You are special and unique. And the last time I checked, that means you're fearfully and wonderfully made, right?
Absolutely.
It just sounds like you're starting to cry. So I'm glad you told me.
I know.
Nobody cries alone in my presence. I would cry with you.
I was in a store yesterday checking out and the cashier said, baby, are you okay?
Oh, and you said, thank you, friend, because only in the South would somebody say, baby, are you okay?
That's exactly right. Exactly.
So, Kay, tell my listeners where you're located and what you do in and around real estate.
Okay. So I am in Oxford, Mississippi. If you've ever heard of Ole Miss, hottie totty go Rebs, that's where we live.
You also have a kind of famous author from there.
Well, we have several.
Why don't you name them for our listeners, especially our younger listeners who need to read more books? I'm just saying.
Okay. So William Faulkner is famous, but also John Grisham started his writing career
here. Oh, I forgot about John because I'm a Faulkner fan. As I Lay Dying is one of the books that just changed my life forever.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. So I have been a realtor for 6 years now. 30 years ago, I thought about becoming a realtor, but it just wasn't the time. And when we first moved to Oxford, I started a weekend rental business because everybody wants to come see the Rebels play.
Right.
And so as time went on, I had people who kept saying, hey, we want to buy our own piece of Oxford. So I would have to refer them to my friend.
And she appreciated you.
And she appreciated it. So 6 years ago, she started her own company and I went to work with her as a realtor at that time. And then last year in February, I decided to start my own company. That was a wonderful time to start a company in February of 2020.
Why not? I mean, you know, who couldn't have foreseen a pandemic?
Absolutely. But things are going well now. It is just me and my company, but my husband retired in October and he's just finished his licensing class and getting ready to go for his test. And he will join me.
Wonderful.
In my company. So business is going pretty good now. I do. Everybody and his brother in Oxford is a realtor.
Of course.
So a lot of my business is with out-of-towners who I've met through my weekend rental business. also like parents who are buying a place for their students to live in or buying second homes. So that's kind of my niche. I am not, have never wanted to be, and never will be a top producer. I guess you could say I'm a little bit of a control freak because I like to have my fingers in everything and take really, really good care of the clients that I have. I'm also very involved in the community and my church. I'm a member of two real estate boards, the North Central Mississippi, which is located here in Oxford, and Northwest Mississippi, which is in Hernando, up toward Memphis. And I'm members of some committees with the local boards. I'm also a member of the State Professional Standards Committee.
And good. Thank you for serving. So I'll tell you, though, I mean, realtors of all shapes, sizes, business models and styles are control freaks. I'm pretty sure it's just a characteristic of realtors who survive that we really, really, really want to make sure everything's done correctly.
Absolutely.
But I love that your real estate was a dream deferred. And so what did you do in the years between thinking about it 30 years ago and 6 years ago jumping in?
Well, let's see. I did a number of things. I say now I finally figured out what I want to do when I grow up.
Oh, well, good job.
I worked in human resources. And in 1998, my husband and I went to Bulgaria and adopted our son.
What?
And so that was also the same year that we moved to Oxford. And I became a stay-at-home mom. And I did a lot of contract work through the years and then started this weekend rental business. So
I love that. So what a wonderful choice to be a stay-at-home mom. And we don't really talk enough about in real estate that that can be one of the best jobs to do prior to real estate to
right.
get ready for managing all of the different things that crop up from day to day. And knowing that things do crop up, they happen in parent life, they happen in pretty much every angle of life. But in real estate, we see the stuff that is never, ever showcased on HGTV, the things that nobody ever expects to see. I mean, you dealt with a lot of tailgaters, so you probably saw some crazy people, but nothing compared to what you get to see in real estate. And Kay, I'd love to know what you would tell me if we were sitting down to have a cocktail on a Saturday afternoon after the ball game to relax a little bit. And you're like, you're never going to believe what happened in real estate. What's the story that you tell that was just jaw dropping for you?
Well, I have several, but the one that I want to tell you, it has to do with a 1031 exchange.
Before we dig into 1031, friends, if you're listening and you're not in day-to-day real estate, here's your quick definition of 1031. It is an IRS rule that allows you as an investor to have a property that has built up capital gains. And instead of paying taxes and taking the gains, you take the property and all of its gains, you sell it and roll that money into another property. We won't say roll tide because that's the wrong part of the SEC.
That's exactly right.
So we roll the proceeds over. You will pay capital gains in the future. It's not an exemption from taxes or an avoidance of taxes. It is a deferment of taxes, but it allows investors to realize gains and continue investing in like-kind properties. So that's your quick definition of 1031. FYI, it's a very important piece of IRS rules that the realtors need to protect because it protects mom and pop investors throughout the country. So Kay, I'll let you tell your story about a 1031 now that they know what we're talking about.
Okay. So this was my very first experience with a 1031 exchange, and it was personal. Through the years, my husband and I have bought and sold investment properties, but I had never, until became a realtor, had never investigated 1031 exchanges. Now, we've never made a whole lot of money, so the capital gains had not been a huge factor. So I said, well, you know, I always tell my clients, hey, I've been where you are. I bought, I've sold. So here's one more thing that I can say, I've been where you are. Now, what you need to understand about me and my husband is that we are both very frugal. And so I started checking into it and got names of some local people and started looking at their fees. And I was like, I don't have that much money to roll over. And this is a pretty good chunk of the money that I'm rolling over. So when you don't know what else to do, you Google, right? My husband calls me Ms. Google. So I found someone online who did a 1031 exchange for a fraction of what the local people would do. And the other thing, one of the things that I learned about 1031 exchanges, the IRS likes to put their fingers in things and tell you exactly how things should be done. But I did not know that when you find a qualified intermediary, that sounds like a very fancy term. But basically, it's someone who's not disqualified.
I like that. Hey, friends, highlight that. I love that. You made it so simple, Kay. Well done.
So the people who are disqualified is anyone who has been an accountant, a realtor, an attorney, or a title company that you have ever done business with. So the ones who were local were disqualified for me because I had done business with all the ones who were local. Now, what I didn't realize at the time is that it's somewhat unregulated for somebody to put themselves out as a qualified intermediary. And you have to be very careful who you choose. You know, they always say choose someone you know, like, and trust. But the ones I knew, liked, and trust were disqualified for me.
Right.
So I went ahead and I found this person. And as you always say, the names are changed to protect the guilty. Let's call him John. I found John. We had a property that we were selling. Even before we closed on that property, we had identified the property that we were going to purchase. So it's going to be a quick turnover. I engaged him. I never actually talked to him on the phone. There were a couple of emails back and forth, and he had some assistants who sent me all the documentations and everything. And as it came time for our closing, I had been on the phone with them for 2 or 3 days in advance saying, okay, we're closing this time, this place. We got to make sure everything's fine. Well, I go to closing and the title company says, we don't have the money yet. They're on the phone with them. I'm on the phone with them. Long story short, it was the next day before the money appeared. But I breathed a sigh of relief. It was all over. About a month later, I got a letter from an attorney saying that there had been a lawsuit, several lawsuits filed against John, and that it was class action and that we were going to be some of the plaintiffs in the class action if we chose to. He was basically being sued for mishandling of the 1031 exchange funds.
Oh.
And what really brought it to light was about a month after our closing, at 3 o'clock in the morning, he was found behind a pharmacy that was closed. He was wandering around next to the smoldering remains of his car. His car had exploded. He had burns over 65% of his body. He was taken to the hospital and put into a medically induced coma. And when people started trying to get their closings, the money was not there. So there was well over $6 million of money that should have been there. And there was only about $800,000 there. And nobody in his organization seemed to know where the money was.
So who tried to blow him up?
That's a good question. I mean, that was my first thought was, this dude double-crossed somebody and they want to blow him up.
You're in a John Grisham town. Sounds like you were living a John Grisham novel.
Well, it didn't happen here in Oxford. It actually happened in another state. But
it could have happened in a Grisham novel, though, for real.
It could have. So he was in this coma for 3 months. And during the time he was in a coma, his wife filed for divorce. And he ended up spending more than a year in the hospital, lost an ear, lost 9 fingers, and is permanently confined to a wheelchair. I mean, it's so sad. But the lawsuit, it was nearly 2 years later before there was a settlement reached for the people who lost their money to get their money back. And as of last year, the authorities still had not figured out what caused the explosion. Although last year he did file a lawsuit against the automobile manufacturer.
Which could be real. Yeah. It could be a red herring, because I've read John Grisham novels.
There you go.
It'll all be a setup. This is crazy.
Well, that's what this show is all about, right?
I know, but it's like you're like talking like a news story crazy, not just one person, like an actual conspiracy probably. I'm way too conspiracy theorist, but oh yeah. My gracious. But you were lucky though, because your money showed up.
It did. So late, but it showed up.
Did you stay in the class action suit or did you bail out?
I stayed in it, but I would only have received some damages because I had gotten my money. And when they settled the lawsuit, they agreed not to pay any damages, just to get the people's money back.
So obviously we all learn from the things that we go through in life. And you said you take all your real estate experiences and plow it into your clients and help them make great decisions. So anybody that's listening to this, what would you tell them about selecting a qualified intermediary or a QI if you're looking at stuff online? How should they pick somebody, Kay?
Really, they should go with someone they know, like, and trust, or someone who's recommended by somebody they know, like, and trust.
Same way you pick a realtor.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. So what's the resolution on the whole story? When will everything be settled? Do you know?
I don't know. They're still trying to shuffle some things around. He apparently had purchased a lot of real estate himself with some of this money. So I don't know.
Hopefully he'll find Jesus, because I think he's going to need Jesus in the next phase of his life.
Absolutely.
So, Kay, if anybody wants to reach you to find out about college properties, short-term weekend rentals, how to make a transition from mom life to real estate life, or just to buy or sell, how can they find you?
Well, you can look me up online at Kay Hightower.
Like you do.
Google kayhightower.com. My phone number is 662-801-6692, and I'm easy to find.
Because all you have to do is Google the Google Queen, or you can duck, go too. I duck, duck, go because of situations like this man and getting blown up behind the pharmacy at 3 a.m. So friends, don't worry, because all of Kay's information is in the show notes for this episode. So you can look her up and reach out to her with your needs in Mississippi. Kay, by the way, an extra thank you for volunteering in Realtor World, because there's definitely room for improvement and we improve things a lot more when we work together. So I appreciate
absolutely.
It. And friends, I'd love for you to subscribe to this podcast, because you know you want to hear more. And, you know, we just got to find out the resolution one day on Kay's story. And that's why you subscribe to Fun Podcast. There's always something new in real estate. If you want to be featured, give me a shout. Let me know. Give us 5 stars on the way out. And we'll see you next time. As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one-up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.